Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 1st of October, and I'm recording at 9:33 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, a lot of red ink in here today, but not across all sectors. And big news, well, the canary in the coal mine that I've been describing for Wall Street has gone quiet. More on that in a moment, but let me first do the usual run through of the stock markets. Japan was down not all that much, 0.6 of a percentage point, and it was helped by what early this morning was a weaker yen, got to 110 to the US dollar, but it's currently just fractionally below 109, and I'd be surprised if Japan didn't get clipped tomorrow. Now, China's closed, probably a good thing too, given all the riots. Well, they're not so much riots now that they're no longer being pepper sprayed and tear gas sprayed by police in Hong Kong, but there's obviously a huge demonstration there, and that has clobbered the market over the last 4 weeks. I think China's closed tomorrow as well, and possibly Friday. I'm not sure about that. But elsewhere, Taiwan a fraction higher here today, but South Korea clipped down 1.4. percent. India, Australia, a little firmer, 0.75 percentage point, and India a fraction weaker, less than a quarter of a point here overall, and small gains. New Zealand, Indonesia, and Thailand and Vietnam also. I mean, among these, I mean, you know, Japan is certainly a favorite of mine on a medium to longer term basis, but we're obviously in a choppy period here in terms of global markets overall. I also like China, although I have to hold my nose in terms of the mainland's policies, which I think are stupid. Regarding Hong Kong, they haven't learned the merits of soft tactical power here, and this may be a problem. I hope not, but it's certainly one of the global geopolitical risks here right now. Okay, moving on to and India. Well, you know what I feel about India, and I've written about it again in here today, or had a little bit of comment on it. European stock markets pretty much lower now, not quite across the boards, and Denmark had a tiny gain. It's less than a point, but that's been the leader to the upside, and it's still holding very, very steadily, but you know, it would get hit if we get this further corrective phase continuing, and there's a considerable risk of that. Okay, the main central European and southern European markets here are down mostly less than a percentage point, but just. Euro stocks 50, almost 1%. UK down almost 1%. France slightly more. Germany almost 1%. Ditto Spain. Looks like Sweden was one of the weakest here, 1.5% to the downside. Small decline for Switzerland. Wall Street, well, a bit of blood in here today. I mentioned right at the beginning that the canary in the coal mine had gone quiet. Bad sign. That's the Russell 2000 index of some of the smaller and more speculative companies. Now, That closed right around the 1085 level. That's the lowest close since November 2013. But of course, in November 2013, it was still moving to the upside. So this is a closing low within the top formation. It's not an intraday low, but closing low within the top formation characteristics, which are really quite apparent. It's also a decline of very close to 10% from the high that it had seen earlier, earlier this year, I believe. And that's a real warning that the risk of a further correction on Wall Street is really quite high. Now, the other U.S. indices had some had downward dynamics here today. Let me give you the percentage changes. The Dow down 1.4%, S&P 1.32, Nasdaq Composite 1.59. So they're all quite weak, as I say, giving these downward dynamics, which have broken an initial minor support levels, and also recorded, well, earlier on we'd seen the recording of some upside failures. We've seen that before, all within the what had been the orderly upward trend, but this looks more dangerous this time around. And now none of these indices that I just mentioned, except for the Russell 2000, of course, is testing its 200-day moving average. But my minimum expectation to the downside would be that we would see tests of the 200-day moving averages. But I'll just repeat a point that I've made on a number of occasions, but I think it's an important one. If Wall Street, for some reason, manages to avoid a 10% plus correction this time around, the sole reason will be the Fed. Now, we know that, of course, that this month the Fed's ending the QE, but interest rates, short-term interest rates, are not about to go up anytime soon. I certainly don't think they will go up this year, and it may be well into next year before they actually go up. So that overall monetary policy does remain favorable. Well, the trouble is, though, we had this momentum move to the upside, and it was very orderly, as these are, and investors in a strong momentum move will ignore higher valuations that, well, they say they'll be aware of them, but they're not going to fret too much about them. And they will also ignore most geopolitical risks. Well, there are now one heck of a lot of geopolitical risks, and the consistency that we had been seeing is being called into question. It has to be said that so far, you take those major indices on Wall Street, and the uptrends have not yet lost their consistency. But based on what I and other people see here from that Russell 2000, we wouldn't be at all surprised if Wall Street does lose its trend consistency, which is probably most important on the NASDAQ 100 index and particularly the S&P 500 index. And when that happens, then people will worry a lot more about the geopolitical risks, and they're enormous, and they're numerous, and they're costly. From Russia and the sanctions to the Middle East and the uncertainty over the costs and the effectiveness, and let alone the duration of this military effort that we're actually seeing, the problems that we have now between China and Hong Kong, so on. Difficult time here. 10% plus correction would create another buying opportunity, but let's see how much if we get the downside first. And I'd be very careful in here right now, as you know. What about government bonds? Well, slammed to the downside here today. The U.S. 10-year closed at 2.385%, 2.385. Now, there was an August low down at 2.30. That's not the all-time low, but that August low is, which didn't, it was now you see it and now you don't at 2.30. That's certainly within reach here. That might also help to hold this. Well, there's another factor that would stay the Fed's hand in terms of short-term interest rates. it would be a big mistake to raise the short-term interest rates this time, in my opinion, and I don't think Janet Yellen has any intention whatsoever of doing that. Just as I emphasize that point that I made earlier in the. But these government bond markets yields in Europe also all lower in here today. Now, currencies, the dollar index, well, for once it didn't go up. It's down slightly in here today, less than half a point. And the euro, let me pick that up. It's down slightly, 1.2619. But that's a major decline, as you know, from the 140 that had been reached, what was it, a couple of months ago, I think. And sterling, also, sterling is down to 1.6182. And remember that got up to 170, not all that long ago. Although that would have certainly worried the Bank of England, but not as much as the 140 had worried the ECB and Mario Draghi. Now, among other currencies, well, the Brazilian currency is clearly weaker, and I shall just give you the rest of those stock markets that I normally mention. I mean, Canada down over 1%, Mexico nearly 1.4%, Brazil down a big 2.32%. Well, that's down to one factor here, and it really is that Rousseff, if that's how you pronounce her name, but it looks like she's going to get reelected. And the latest poll gave her a significant lead. That runoff election is going to be just in a few days' time, I think. Is it on the 10th? That's certainly before mid-October. And if she's reelected again on the governance basis, international investors. Well, they're voting with their feet right now, which is unfortunate for Brazil. Okay, anything else to mention in here? Crude oil. Now, this is interesting because it had been stronger earlier today, but then it gave up the ground. And when I last looked, and that was only about 10 minutes ago, we had Brent crude 94.20 and the WTI 90.80, and they had both been $2 higher earlier in the day. Precious metals, well, a little bit firmer in here, but way off the highs. I mean, silver got up to 1744. And morning U.S. trading, but it's now only up 12 cents at 17 and a half, and palladium up $5, 17.80. Platinum's been weak all day. That's the exception, and it's down nearly $16 at 12. 84.70, and gold bullion up almost $6 at 12.14, and that's pretty much it here today. Nervous, nervous day here, but especially in the Americas markets. That will Wall Street's effect will spill over. On that note, I forgot to mention. I've just mentioned Owen. You probably know this from his pages, but Owen was away on Monday and Tuesday. He was in Chicago, successfully conducting the chart seminar, and today he went on to Basin Harbor in Vermont to the wonderful Contrary Opinion Forum, where he will be speaking and no doubt meeting with a number of our delegate friends who also enjoy that fine seminar. Okay, all the very best to all of you.